And I wouldn't want to, you know, Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. And can we be in a situation, an environment, it's a good question to ask yourself, where I could say, you know, follow me as I'm following Christ. Like with worship, something like that. Can I actually follow you? Can I be with you when no one else is around? And say, you know, you have the character of Christ in your life. It's a good question for all of us to ask. All of us probably excel sometimes, and all of us probably have room for improvement sometimes. I know I do. And so I've been speaking some about prophetic ministry. It's not a spooky thing. It's something that all believers and all Christians should actually practice. It's a normal thing. And so there's a passage in Isaiah I love. It says, Isaiah 54, the Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear as the learned. Wouldn't you love to be used like that? To speak a word in season to him who is weary. Has anyone ever done that to you before? I remember a time in my life, prophecies helped me. And I was thinking just this week, I was in a rough season in my life, and I was in a church somewhere at a service, and there was a man of God who's gone on to be with the Lord, but I highly respect. If he was alive today, I would sit down and tell him to take the pulpit. And he came up to me, I was sitting there meeting with the Lord, and he just said, you're an overcomer. And that carried such significance to me for more than just those words. It was something, it was, you're an overcomer. It had great meaning that's just significant to me. And it stayed with me to this day. I was weary, and he came and gave me a word in season. Has anyone been blessed by that? Or have you blessed someone else with that? I mentioned last week as well where prophecies really helped me in different areas of my life where I've said something to someone that sparked them, or someone has shared something with me that sparked them. They had a word from the Lord for me. And if they had not given that to me, you know, maybe the Lord would have given it to someone else to give to me. But I greatly needed it, and I needed that. We all need encouragement. What you were talking about, the guys coming to pray for you. That's what the body of Christ is. You know, I can't be an island. I need other people. I need to be built up. I found with myself, and this is important for all of us to even connect like that on a level like that. I'm built up a lot more when I'm around other people. I find some, just other believers, when I just take just a certain period of time just to encourage each other. What's the Lord doing in your life? How are you growing? What's the Lord speaking to you? Doing things like that and finding someone like that, just and if you don't have someone like that, be a friend to someone. Say, hey, let's go out for coffee. And I want to hear, James, what God's doing in your life, because it may speak to me. Or I want to tell you what God's doing in my life, because it may be needful for him. Amen. Oftentimes, I'm going to get off this rabbit trail in a minute, but it must be needed. You know, I went on a rabbit trail last week, and someone came to me and said, I needed to hear that, so I'm going to do it again. Sometimes we're looking for someone to come to us when God's asking us to go to someone else. And that's really important here. I can wait and wait and wait for James to approach me. When's he going to ask me? When's he going to do this? And maybe the Lord's stirring me because I'm the one that needs to connect with him. Amen? He wants to friendly, show himself friendly. And so we need each other. We need words. Sometimes I give a word to him who is weary by just making an effort with them. Amen? Someone needs that. So just a couple of verses. Then I'm going to do a couple quick points. And then I'm going to have a time we're going to break up for just 5 minutes and do an activation since you didn't do your homework. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, you can just mark that, but it says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. It's a godly thing to desire spiritual gifts. Amen? I do seek the giver, but I'm also instructed to seek his gifts. Okay? And it says this, but he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. That's in verse 3. My focus in my heart, and for some of you it's a great review, for some of you it's reminded. The scripture talks about that. It's needful that I remind you of these things. I call it simple prophecy. And the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So is the word that I'm giving, is it lined up with scripture? Is it pointing to Jesus? Is it edifying you? Is it comforting you? Is it exhorting you? Amen?
Amen.
We spoke about spirit of prophecy, and sometimes, example in that, the Bible, when when Saul was going and he came upon Samuel's school, the prophets, and they said, is Saul also among the prophets? See you, Evan. he likes the tools. he's a piece of work. I send action photos to my mom sometimes. So this morning he was in the utility room, so I took a picture of stuff he was saying, and he got the tools and working in my office, and my mom loves that because she doesn't get to see him all the time. So where was I? So there's certain atmospheres, and it's my heart for here. And I share with you, I was in a prophecy class. I was in Bible school. And there was a room, and it was the easiest place to prophesy I've ever been in my life. I think anyone could come in. And we don't complicate it as well. Remember in Acts, I think it's Acts 19, when those boys from Ephesus came in. They hadn't even been baptized, and they were baptized in water, and then immediately spoke in tongues and prophesied. Amen. I don't have to be a Christian for 25 years to give someone a prophetic word. Okay? And so sometimes if I'm in an arena of that, there's simple prophecy, which anyone can do. I'm going to share some about that as well. There's also a gift of prophecy in some people. You may not be a prophet, office of the prophet, but you have a strong prophetic gifting in your life. And as you use that, and I would say this too, if you have a gift from God, don't put it on the shelf. Use it. With use, it becomes a ministry. Amen? So that's a prophetic gifting. There's also the office of a prophet as well, and they touch in areas where I don't believe if you don't sit in that office, you should touch, you know, a strong correction, prediction, judgment, things like that. There are national prophets, and some of them have very strong track records of prophesying national events that do come to pass, and that's how we judge them. Amen? One of them, just off the beaten path, he's gone on to be with the Lord from Charlotte, North Carolina, and he has a lot of unbelievable prophecies national that came to pass. And he did prophesy there will be a major revival when the Carolina Panthers won the Super Bowl. So for the sake of the kingdom, if that's true, just switch your allegiances and pull for my team. that's an office of the... And I spoke some about that. I don't want to belabor that point. We're also taught to judge prophecy. And it says, but if there's no interpreter, let him keep silent in the church. Let him speak to himself and God. Let two or three prophets speak and let the others judge. John writes, test the spirits. When we're judged prophecy, I'm not judging the person. I'm judging the word they give. And that's healthy. You know, I judge it based on that test. Does it edify, comfort, exhort? Does it point to Jesus? And is it backed up in the scriptures? Amen. We always judge prophecy by the word of God. Amen? Amen. And so this is the objective truth. That's subjective because the truth is when we give people words, it's important to keep my heart clean, which I'm going to talk some about, because I get my own stuff in there sometimes. Right? Mm-hmm. And sometimes I'm aware when someone's giving me a word, they're getting their own stuff in there as well. And so it's important that I weigh that based on the word of God. Amen? Mm-hmm. We also... spoke. This is just all review. Why prophecy is needed, and because some people say, "Oh, we have the Word of God, and that's it." Well, this is prophetic word. The Word of God is living and active, mm-hmm. sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing the division of joints and marrow, soul and spirit, discerning the thoughts and intentions of our heart. And so, when I read this, it's alive. Mm-hmm. I have a history, a book I'm reading on 9/11 right now. It's interesting. It just came out. And it's good for me just to read factually. But when I read the Bible, it actually speaks to me. There's a passage I read this week that just spoke to me and convicted me. So, wow, I'm not there right now. Holy Spirit, it's alive. Discerns the thoughts and intentions of our heart. A good check for you when I read the Bible, am I just reading it like I'm reading a book? Or am I actually having it read me? Is it actually alive? That's a good thing to meditate on. Because this should be alive. It is alive. It's a living word. And so we have this, but the Lord, if you look in Joshua, I used this last week. You know, Joshua didn't take down Jericho because he found in the law. He heard from the Lord. Right? When Joshua fell with the Gibeonites, it's because he did not consult with the Lord. If you read in Acts, the Holy Spirit said, set apart Saul and Barnabas for the work which I have called them. Agabus prophesied. Okay, these weren't things that were necessarily in the old. So there is a, which I'm going to talk some more about this. It all lines up with the Word of God, but I need the written Word of God, the Logos, and also the Rhema Word of God, the spoken Word of God as well. Amen? So prophecy is a valid thing, and we should desire it. Okay? Alrighty. I'm going to speak a few things to you, a couple quick points, and we're going to do an activation. And I'm going to have Andrea just play as we do it. But one thing that separates the Christian faith, I was talking to a former Muslim yesterday. It was an interesting conversation. One thing that separates our life as believers is that we're called to experience God.
Amen.
It's not just I don't have to go down and pray three times because I have to. The Word of God shouldn't be lifeless. It's alive. He's alive. And I get to go to God because I want to. And I get to build a relationship with Him because I love Him. And my love grows for Him. And that's different from any other religion because it's a personal, Emmanuel God with us. It's Christmas. It's personal. Amen?
Amen.
And if He's personal, it means He wants relationship with us. So I always say this, if the only thing He just gave me was this, He did give me just this, and it should all, this is the ultimate revelation. But He also wants to speak to me as well. He also wants me, my spirit, to mature. If you've been married for any length of time, I can look at my wife's face and know what she thinks. I can be running around in a room and I can just pick up things. And that comes with time. It comes with relationship. Do we have that with the Lord? Or I can even, for some of you this might be helpful, I can even pick up His moods. And I can feel a way, I can sense Him. And it's just an important thing where it's a relationship, not just a program, right?
Amen.
And we all know that. This is review. But He speaks to us. Okay? And He speaks to us in different ways. I spoke about this before. Again, let me say this. I've never heard the audible voice of God. And if some of you might not like, I don't know that I want to. I've heard too many, from very seasoned people. One guy said, I was praying to hear the audible voice of the Lord, and I did, and it almost melted me, and I'm not ready for it again. Very high-level seasoned guy. In the Scriptures, it says in Peter, no prophecy is given a private interpretation, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. You know, and Psalms says He speaks peace to His people. He leads us by His peace. He speaks, I am God's Spirit. Those who worship Him in spirit and in truth. Corinthians says, those who are joined in the Lord are one in spirit with Him. So the Lord can communicate spirits. My spirit's alive quicker than my mind can even pick it up, right? And I pick up and I learn and I can discern. He speaks to me in different ways. There's a Romans talks about the witness of the Spirit. A lot of times the old timers call it the witness. I like that word. If I'm with someone and they share something, like my spirit just leaps in me. I was with someone one time in a room and they shared something. And I was like, oh, and they said, there's a witness to that. It's like, yes, there is. It's just something that leaps, something you get excited about. It's like a rush almost sometimes. And sometimes it's not. It's uneasy. You know, have you ever felt restless in your spirit about something? I always give this example because it's one of the best ones I know. I was given, when we were in Virginia, two different job situations. One paid more, one paid less. And I could go to the Bible and find a place where it says, take this job and not that job. But let the peace of God rule in your heart. And I never remember I was praying, and I would say, I'm going to go here for this. And I felt such a peace. It was a lower paying job. I went here, and I was just so restless. And I shared with my wife, and she felt the same way. Well, I was led, and God spoke to me through that peace. He will speak peace to His people, Psalms 86:8. So He was speaking in my spirit peace to me. And to this day, the job I have now working from home is a direct correlation to that job I took 7 years ago. And I'm grateful that I did it. I was led by the Spirit of God. I didn't hear an audible voice that came to me. It didn't come from me. It was the Lord just spoke to my heart. Amen. Sometimes He speaks to us through others, as Bob gave us that verse a little while ago. And it says this too in 1 Corinthians 2:9, eyes not seen and ears not heard, and has not entered into the heart of man all that God has prepared for those who love Him, for God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. Amen. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. It's the beauty of being a believer and coming to faith in Christ as my spirit becomes alive. And I can build up my spirit, man. I can grow in my spirit. And those who are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Amen? And so when I prophesy and I hear from the Lord, it might be audible, that is scriptural. Remember Saul on the Damascus Road, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? I don't want to have that experience happening to me. If the Lord speaks to me audibly one day, then He does. But honestly, I fear God so much, I believe if He did, I would melt. I really do, and I mean that with sincerity. So I'm fine right now hearing from the Lord the way that I do. He also speaks in dreams and visions, and that's throughout Acts as well. I'm not going to take time to go in all that. That would be a whole another thing. But there's a verse in Ecclesiastes, in this old song, and it says, there's a time to speak and there's a time to be silent. Chapter 3, verse 7. And so in our life, I want to go over a couple things really quickly, especially in the holiday season. It's important to hear this. When I give prophecy, I'm speaking, right? But there's a time to speak, and there's also a time to be silent and to hear, right? If you look at Jesus and His ministry, if Jesus is our example and our pattern, before He went out to His ministry, He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, right? For 40 days and 40 nights. I think He was there with just the wild animals, with Him and the Lord, and fasting and in prayer. And I'm sure there's a lot of silence that He heard. Before He went out and really spoke, He first got silent to hear. Amen? Even if you look at Saul, after Saul's experience, it said Saul went away 3 days and nothing to eat or drink. And he was there, Ananias, and the Lord charged Ananias and said, go talk to Brother Paul, lay hands on him. The scales fell off of his eyes. Before he really went out, even he went and he had 3 years of ministry in the desert. In Galatians it says, before he went out to his ministry, before he really went out, he first sat down and he got silent and he heard and he listened. And one of the things that can be a real, if I want to be a prophetic person, if I want to give a word and if I want to be able to give a word to someone who's weary and seasoned, it's very important that I learn to quiet myself from time to time. Not all the time, but from time to time, to listen and to hear. I think it was Henry Nouwen. I have some quotes by him I'm going to read. But he makes a statement. He says, being alone with God. He says, not being alone, it's being alone with God. So I can shut myself, I did this yesterday, I was here in my office, and no one was in my office with me, but He was in my office with me. I was with God. And I left the office driving home, and I felt the hand of the Lord on me. No person was in there with me, but I wasn't alone. Oftentimes, before I will share anything with someone, the Lord speaks to me very clearly and quickly when I first quiet myself. Amen. And it says this, there's a passage in Isaiah, and it's a rebuke, and He says, this is what the Sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel, says. In repentance and rest is your salvation, and quietness and trust is your strength, but you would have none of it. And one of the challenges we have today is I like noise. If you come to our house sometimes, you're going to hear a lot of noise with my kids. And sometimes I'm the one that initiates some of that noise, my wife knows. And I will run around with them and go wild and crazy with my kids. And so that noise is good. Music's good. Talking is good. Being around people is good. But silence is good. And some of the greatest men and women of God understand being silent. And today we have, I've shared on this before, and I'm not going to repeat my own message, but sometimes we drown out the unresolved issues in our life with noise. It's really easy to get in my car and crank on the radio so I don't have to think about anything. I do it sometimes. It's really easy to go home, and I don't want to deal with what's going on, so I just crank on the TV so I don't have to think about it. I blast up the music as loud as I can so I don't have to think about it. And this is important because to really hear It's important, as I said, sometimes we get our junk in there. If I really, going back to this, if I'm really constrained by love, and if I give words to people because I love them, I want to see the best for them, it's important that my heart, my words, as pure as it can be, and that the Lord can work in my own heart and my own life. I always go back to character when you have gifts. It's important to have giftings and character, the nine fruit and the nine gifts. They balance themselves out, right? The tabernacle of Moses, the golden candlestick, nine on one side, nine on the other, and the Lord's in the middle. We need to be a balanced people. I don't want to just be all gifting and no character. I also don't want to be all character with no gifting. I like a balance of both. Amen. And the Lord's restoring that to the church. We just lost a great general, by the way, Reinhard Bunke. And he made this yesterday, and he made the statement that gifts of the Spirit, I said this before a few weeks ago, they're not, what did he say? They're not, I forget, they're tools for the trade. I forget the first part of it. But they're tools that we can use. They're not something I can say, hey, look at me, I've got this. It's not a badge of honor. It's not a badge of honor that I can move in prophecy. It's a tool for the trade to point people to Jesus.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
And so if that's what the testimony of Jesus, the spirit of prophecy, everything I share with them should really bring them to a closer walk with God.
Yes.
And that's really important to understand. And so there's a quote. Henry Nguyen said this. And it's kind of long, and I'm not going to read all of it. But he made this statement. He said, solitude is not a private therapeutic place. Rather, it's a place of conversion. The place where the old self dies and the new self is born. In solitude, I get rid of my scaffolding. No friends to talk with, no telephone calls to make, no meetings to attend, no music to entertain, no books to distract me. Just me. It's in the nothingness that I have to face in my solitude, a nothingness that can be so dreadful that everything in me wants to run to my friends, my work, and my distractions so I can forget my nothingness. But that is not all. And this is important, and I want to speak to this. As soon as I decide to stay in my solitude, confusing ideas, disturbing images, wild fantasies, weird associations jump about in my mind like monkeys on a banana tree. Anger and greed begin to show their ugly faces. I give long, hostile speeches to my enemies. And I dream lustful dreams, which I am wealthy, influential, and very attractive, or poor, ugly, and in need of immediate consolation. Thus, I try to run again from my abyss of my nothingness and restore my false self and all its vainglory. And then he ends with this. He says, the wisdom of the desert is that of confrontation with our own frightening nothingness that forces us to surrender ourselves totally and unconditionally to the Lord Jesus Christ. Once you push through the initial discomfort and challenge of solitude, you'll find that it will bring the wonderful refreshment of God's peace and this truth that transcends all understanding and will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
I was talking with someone yesterday as a quick reminder. As believers, she made a statement to me, and she said, going to church, she said, I never heard about sin. And I spoke some time ago about sin is not normal. And as a people of God, part of loving others is not loving them the things that are killing God's people. Amen? If something's killing, if my son's involved in a destructive behavior, Owen, when he gets older, as a parent, it's a necessity of me, as a spiritual head in that household, to say, I love you enough to tell you, you're free to do whatever you want to do. You are, but there's consequences to your lifestyle that you choose. It's very important to understand. And so the Lord wants to take us through a place where I understand that I'm the old thing of sanctification and where I grow in Him. And if I want to be more like Christ, one of the things I tell the Lord, and you can make it your prayer too, Lord, I want to be one of your best ones. Lord, I want to be one of your best. I want to be your friend, and I want to be one of your best men and women of God on this earth. You know, I want to be someone that the Lord can say, you know what, I've got a major problem over there. I can send Billy to that work environment because he's got what it takes. I can work through him in such a way that sets that place aflame.
Yeah.
I want that. Yes. That should be our heart and prayer too. That's been my prayer lately. And so there's a practice. I want to encourage you to do it. In those places of solitude and silence, when sometimes the Holy Spirit will bring things that need adjustment or correction in our life, it's important, one, to own it. And I have a man of God, it's a book he has, and he has chapters and activations on the end of it. I know Diane, who's not here today, has the book. I could share it with some of you. But he made a statement, there's an area in my life that needs correction. To properly repent of it, I need to first own it. Okay? And he says, what I do is this, I own it. Lord, let's say what did he have in here? You just do whatever you want to do. But just an area in your life where the Holy Spirit highlights. Take a piece of paper. I've done this myself. Write it. Say it's envy for you. Just envy. And you write it. And take a red pen or a red marker and color over it. Say, when you look at this, Father, I've repented of it. You see nothing but red. You see the blood of Jesus. Amen. That sounds ridiculous. It sounds ridiculous. I do it. Lord, this came to my heart and my mind. This needs to be corrected. Lord, I own the fact that I was envious today of this person. That's not who I am as a son of God. It's not your character. That's not who I am. I repent from that. And I turn from it. And I write on a piece of paper. And I do that. I take the red. I say, when you see this, you see nothing but red. You see the blood of Jesus. Do that. And watch the Lord begin to work in your life. And He changes your desires. He changes your heart. Changes your view of things. This is going on, Lord. So I don't run from the silence. I embrace it. And then He deals with me in such a way that I can say, okay, Lord, You're working this thing in my heart and in my life. Amen?
Amen.
And I give a good flow. And Richard Foster said this, the purpose of silence and solitude is to be able to see and to hear. I see clearly and I hear clearly. When I have that, remember Jesus said this in Matthew 7 when he's talking about judge not lest you be judged. And he says, first remove the plank from your own eye, then you'll be able to see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye.
Amen.
If I'm going to see clearly in the Spirit, Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father doing. If I'm going to be a seer, if I'm really going to see, it's imperative that I remove planks in my own eye before I can start pointing out other things to other people. Amen? Because if I'm going to go deliver a word from the Lord for Lloyd, or from the Lord, and I've got this huge plank, everything I share with him is going to be marked by that big plank.
Mm-hmm.
And I might think I'm really discerning, I'm really just coming in with a critical spirit. Amen. Has anyone ever done that before? Because I have. Lord, I want to see them. And then when I see them, you know, I always look at kids or adults. And if you look at someone who's troubled, I always go back. You know, Owen's 8 now, and I still remember the first time I laid eyes on him. I was telling, I forget who it was, I actually watched Owen. I watched Andrew give birth to Owen. I thought I was going to be on the floor before I went in. But I got in and I got so excited. I was like, gosh, it was really intense. For me, it was. And I always remember that image. But the first time I saw him, I said, that's what he looks like, you know. And it's important that I'm his father. So that when he's acting a certain way, when he's being a certain way, I remember the little boy I first saw before in your mother's womb, he knew my son. Amen? He formed him in Andrew's womb. He's fearfully and wonderfully made. And it's important that I can see people. Oftentimes we get our own junk in things, and I see people I'm dealing with myself, in areas I'm dealing with myself. And I can see someone who's entrenched in sin, and I can just go back and, Lord, let me see them through your eyes because you're their heavenly Father. You knew them in their mother's womb. Lord, I want to speak life and grace. I want to see what you see in them, not what their behavior is now, but what do you see? And I call that forth in them because my eyes are clear. I've dealt with the plank in my own eyes. I can see. This is very practical stuff. Prophecy is not just, this is how I do it. Prophecy also, out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. So if I want to be really clean and pure, and if I really want to be one of God's good ones and best ones, it's important that I see them the way God sees them. And I call forth the character and the image of Christ in them. Okay? And it's a good little way to do it. One last point, then we're going to do an activation, and I'm going to be done. Or two last points. Real quick, forgiveness is also very important. Fifi, forgive everyone for everything. Forgiveness can be instantaneous sometimes. I do want to say healing takes time, though. If your spirit's been wounded, someone made this analogy to me one time. We were ministering to someone. He said, your spirit's been wounded. It's like you broke your arm. When I broke my arm in high school playing soccer, it looked like a U. And they went in there and they reset it. And normally reset, but it took a while for it to heal. An elbow cast, I was in everything. And our spirits are the same way. Sometimes I can be fixed in a certain area, but it's give yourself time to heal as well. Soak in the Word of God. When you forgive someone, Lord, you might want me to minister to that person. Heal my spirit, let me see them the way you see them. Amen. And the Logos and the Rhema word, which I talked about, prophetic ministry should be grounded in the Word of God. I always go back to that. And Logos, this is not a huge sermon on this. This is very brief. Logos is the written word. Rhema is the spoken word. Okay, Logos is written far more than Rhema. But it says this in Ephesians. It says, take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And that word is actually Rhema. One thing I want to encourage you to do is prophetic people, speaking as prophetic people, memorize scriptures. Because what it's like, it's like a, James Gold said this, it's like a, when you can vegetables, take a vegetable, and instead you put it away for however that thing works, because it can be eaten later. If I have a passage that I memorize, and that I know, and then I can come at someone later who's dealing with that issue, first it's a Logos word, but then it becomes a Rhema word to someone. It speaks life to them. Stanley Frodsham made this statement. I'm going to end with this. He was the editor of the Pentecostal Evangel. He's a prophetic man. He said, I went to a meeting one time, and I was sitting there, and the Lord just put a passage in my heart. And it was, stand fast in liberty, which Christ has set you free, and do not be tangled again in the yoke of bondage. There's a lady in there. He pointed at it right there and said that Bible verse to her. Went from a Logos word. As soon as he said that, she broke down. Because it meant something to her in a powerful way. The Logos became the Rhema. If we don't know the Word of God, we don't give Him anything to work with. Also, I don't have to just prophesy Bible verses. I need to know this to know His character.
Yes.
So if I'm going to, if it's testimony of Jesus, spirit of prophecy, I need to know the character of Christ as well.
Amen.
I'm not going to give a great word to someone if it deviates from who Jesus is, or from His purpose in their life, or His heart for them. Amen. It's vital. Memorize. One thing I do is just write them down. In my Bible in the back, there's different sections, and it has like when you feel angry, when you feel sad, or when you feel tempted, when you feel threatened. Take those and like have a book somewhere. Write them by hand. If you still do that, write them by hand. And say, this is for this. And then I have it. And then I'm around someone who's dealing with an issue, or dealing with a struggle, or dealing with something. And I have that weapon there. I have that tool to give them that prophetic word. Amen? So what I want us to do, and we're going to just take 5 minutes, two things. We're not going to have complete silence. I'm going to ask Andrew just to play the piano for 2 minutes. And what I want you to do, and what I asked you to do last week when we can do it here, if you have nothing, if you get nothing, that's fine. Don't make up something. That's worse than, okay? But just pray, you know, Lord, do you have anything? What do you see when you see Sandy? What is your heart for Sandy? Make sure it points to Jesus. Simple prophecy, edifying, exhorting, comfort. What do you see for her? Well, Sandy, this is what I believe the Lord said to me. You write it down on a piece of paper. Maybe it's a Bible verse. The Lord just puts a verse in your heart. Lord, when I see Sandy, this verse comes to me. Sandy, I don't know what this means, and you don't want to interpret it for her. You can write this down. This is what this means. So let's take 2 minutes and just sit and listen and wait. Find someone in here and just say, Lord, what do you think about this person? Maybe what do you think about me? And then we're getting groups for about 3 to 5 minutes, and we're going to share those things. Amen?